Melanzana can feel it. Once is nice, but twice is better. Washburn, the senior captain, had to sit out last year. It's going to be sweet, sweet senior year, though, for her. Washburn cheering. Twice is nice for Melanzana. They go back to back and win the 35th Women's Little 500.
On this episode of the Trophy Dash Podcast, I get to interview the 2023 Women's Little 500 champions, Melanzana Cycling. We talk to Nora, Lauren, Abby and Grace, and Coach James. They share stories of Little Five and how they became repeat champions. Enjoy. Today on the Trophy Dash Podcast, we have 2023 Little 500 champions, Melanzana. What do you say? Give me something. You gotta be excited. You made the podcast again.
This is Grace's one goal. Yeah. The whole entire year.
I've been waiting for this moment my whole life.
Well, thanks, Grace. Well, congratulations. Let's start with some team introductions since the team has a little different makeup than it did last year. Let's start with you, Abby Green, the returning rider.
Okay. My name is Abby Green. I'm a senior studying neuroscience and sociology. I'm from Fort Wayne. And this is my second year on Zana and second race.
Okay. The other veteran of Little Five, Grace Washburn.
One of them, yeah.
My name is Grace Washburn. My hometown's Cary, North Carolina. I am a senior, and I've been riding bikes for about 3 years now.
This is your, how many Little Fives have you done? This is your second?
Yeah, my second Little Five.
Okay. Lauren.
Hi, I'm Lauren Etnier. I'm from Lafayette, California. I'm a fifth year, and this was my first year riding in Little Five.
Mm-hmm. How many years you been at IU?
This is my fifth year.
Fifth year, so mm-hmm. 5 years here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about your brother and how.
Okay.
Either you got him to IU, or he got you into Little Five, or something.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Okay. Nora, the Bloomington girl.
I'm Nora Abdulkader. I'm from Bloomington, Indiana. I'm a freshman, and this is my first Little Five.
Okay. Coach?
Let's see. James Welch from Terre Haute, Indiana. Live in Denver now. And then this is my fifth year coaching. Melanzana.
Two out of five is pretty good.
Yeah, been lucky.
So for those who haven't listened to previous podcasts or anything or don't know anything about Melanzana, one of you give us a little brief history of the team, how it got started, how many years you've been competing, and so forth.
So our founder, Dana Martin, was on a team previous to starting Melanzana. She started Melanzana in 2011. She left that team and got a group of people together, and her dad rode in Little Five too. And then we had Huey, who was her dad's teammate, who coached the team at first with Don Gallagher, who's the owner of Revolution Bike and Bean. They wanted to name the team after Kenda, but it was a professional team, so they denied that. And then she was wearing Melanzana socks from the store in Leadville, Colorado, so she decided to name the team after that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's the 10th year, I think I heard, or the 11th year?
11th, yeah.
Okay. I got the newspaper.
My roommate those.
My roommate gave me one of those.
you can have this one. Back-to-back victories. How did that happen? Tell me about that. What is that like? Let's talk about it. How'd you get there? How'd you get from last year to this year?
It's like weird to think about it as like to think of them as like related events, you know, because it's like to the outside eye, it's like, oh, back to back, everything must have been the same. They just like locked in. But in my head, they're like completely separate things. especially having been lucky enough to be on both teams and be a part of the team for 2 years. It really is like, a lot of people have asked me, like, comparing them, like, which one felt better, which one, like, was the sweetest, but really, like, they both were so surreal. And I think it's just like a testament to the culture of Zana that we were able to get there again. I was actually talking with one of my friends last night about it. And I just was talking to her and I was like, I feel like too lucky that I got to have this incredible experience twice. Like, it's something that I wish more people, I mean, you can't have everybody win because then the win wouldn't mean as much. But like, it's like, I wish more people could understand what it felt like to have all your hard work and all that, like, time and the hours and the tears, like, culminate into that one, like, perfect moment that you get to share with everyone that you love and care about. Mm-hmm. I think you sent over a question asking a little bit about, like, the culture of Zana.
Yeah.
Do you want me to touch on that a little bit?
Culture is a word that's used all the time, and it's lost a little bit of its meaning. But what about that, you know, is keeping this team going? What key parts of the culture?
I think it's more of the idea that it's a work in progress and that it's never like this constant thing. In my eyes, Zana has this like reputation of being this fun and like we love riding bikes and we love each other. But really it takes like a lot of hard work to like maintain that. And it's something that I joined at the tail end of last year, and I kind of came into the team mm-hmm. with these like rose colored glasses, and just life was great. And I was in this like honeymoon phase of like biking and Little Five. And not that that isn't good, and I'm so glad I had that experience. But this year we talked about this before, that we're going to talk about this, but we definitely had some ups and downs and some conflict within our team that it was really important to address before we could even like think about winning the race or like doing as competing and putting our best foot forward. Because to me, it's always been obvious that if we're not strong as Zana, as the Zana unit, if you don't take care of those things like in-house, like how can you ever even like think of trying to achieve something? Or maybe you can achieve it, but it's not really going to mean as much, or even mean, in my eyes, mean anything. Because it's like, if you're on top of that podium and you don't feel like you can share that victory with every single person on your team, not just the four riders, not just the student coach, everyone that's a part of Zana, alumni, all the riders that didn't get to race, then it's just like, it feels kind of empty. And I'm just like, I'm so glad that we, kind of had to go through those like hard parts of this year. I mean, there was a lot of good parts, but like also those hard parts of this year, because it kind of showed me that we all cared about the team first. And it's like, that means that I could go out into the race on race day and know that like everyone in the Zana pit had my back in the same way that I had their back. And that whatever happened, like I would be so proud that we like got there. And then it just ended up working out. So,
yeah, but without hearing the details, because I don't need those, but how did you ladies like come together and work through that, those ups and downs, and come to a sort of an agreement that you're going to come together? How'd that work out?
Do you guys want me to keep going? Do you want to?
Well, let's hear from Lauren, who's maybe new to the team. And talk about like the culture you're going into and how the team culture kind of guided you and worked through those problems.
Yeah, so I was like really drawn into Zana when I was looking at teams to join, because to me on the outside, it did look like it had a really strong culture. And at the beginning of the year, being a rookie, like I thought the culture was really good. And then it kind of dipped for a little bit. And as a team, we had to have some really hard like discussions and meetings to work through stuff. And then ultimately those ended up going well, and we were able to restore that right in time when it really mattered. So it was really nice to like bring the culture back to where it was.
What drew you to Zana? You said you liked the culture, but you know, being a fifth year senior, just started bike riding, how'd you end up on that team?
Yeah, so my brother is actually friends with Grace, so he kind of steered me towards Melanzana because I remember talking to him after the men's race last year, and I was like, I really want to do what you do. I kind of want to change of scenery from water polo. Like, what team should I join? And like, obviously, it's really attractive when the team just won too. You're like, they're good. And then I remember hearing that Abby Green ran cross country. So I was like, okay, that's really cool. You have a former D1 athlete on it. Like, I would have that in common with her. And then, like, same boat as Grace Williams. I was like, oh, another former D1 athlete. So that kind of threw me into Melanzana as well. And then I remember texting Grace at the end of last year, and she was super nice and welcoming. And they had like a little open house where I got to meet everyone. So once I went to that, I was like, okay, I think these are my people, and I could really see myself hanging out with them next year. So that's kind of how I ended up on Melanzana.
Okay. How about you, Nora?
Well, I rode bikes with my dad off and on, so that's kind of how I got into biking. And then going into IU, I knew I wanted to do something, but I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. And then I'm sure you know Judah Thompson. He reached out to me asking if I was interested in joining a little five team, and like mentioned a couple teams and mentioned something about Zana, and then had a little meeting with them at Soma, and the rest is history.
What were the like you the people that met Nora, what were you looking for in potential riders?
I was looking for like strong woman, just something. I wanted to be part of something that was fun, but also I like to be like athletic and I like to work out. So having that as well, I guess.
What were the seniors looking for?
For me, it's always like a vibe check. Like it's like I feel like you can always learn how to be a good cyclist, and you can learn. I mean, I took me so long to learn how to clip in and come out of the bike. Like I was still falling off my bike the day of the race last year. But it's more of like, could we be friends? And like, do you fit into the way the team operates? Because there's so many roles on the team besides being like the number one rider. Obviously, we all want to be fast, but it's like a family. And so it's if you can't like integrate yourself into that, then it's like hard to see a role for you on Zama, I guess.
Grace Washburn, you have an interesting path to find L Melanzana. Tell me
Yeah.
how you found a team and what you had to go through to get there to race
Yeah.
day with that with
So
them.
I my freshman year of college, I rushed FIMU, the sorority, and then COVID hit, so we got sent home. Both my parents are triathletes, so then I decided to bike over COVID and join the FIMU team while I was in quarantine. And then I came back to school, and I was on FIMU for a year. I raced with them in 2021. It was a great experience. After that, I decided that I wanted to be more competitive, because I come from a very competitive family. So then I quit FIMU. I was their captain, which was really hard. And then I was trying to find a new team. I had to protest an appeal to be able to race in 2022 twice, and both of those didn't get approved. So then I joined Melanzana in the spring of 2022. I couldn't race. I still did ITTs, and that was the only spring series event that I did. But then over the summer, I did triathlons just to like fill the void of not being able to race in Little Five. But with Melanzana, I saw them on the track in 2021 when I was a rookie and racing. And I thought that they were so cool and ha were having so much fun. So when I wanted to switch teams, I was like, oh, I only want to join Melanzana and I don't want to join any other team, when in reality, a lot of teams are cool. So I was just like tunnel vision on only joining Zana, but I'm glad that it worked out. And yeah, here we are.
Do you remember meeting me this fall at the one of the tailgate parties?
Yeah, I do.
It was one of those sunny, beautiful fall days, and we started talking Little 500. And that's the first time I really had a conversation with you. And
yeah.
You had such a confidence, not overly confident, but you had a deep belief in yourself and your team going into this year. And I remember that. And I went away thinking, this is going to be a back-to-back winner in this year's race. Not knowing anything else about the makeup of the team, but I could just tell there was something there.
Yeah, well, thank you.
James, what do you think about this squad and how they went through the ups and downs and how they came together?
It's been a roller coaster. It's been a fun experience in regards to me being the only returning rider from last year's race. Did have to reload the team, and then also having kind of a change and a lot of people just overall graduating from the team that I'd been coaching since they were freshmen. A whole change of culture, and as we figured out and worked through it, I think they came out in the spring a lot stronger as a team. There was like at a point, I think it was in February, that we realized things just were not going well on the team communication front and whatnot. So got together, talked about it. I told the girls, I want to make like working on communication the priority this weekend. If you don't get your rides in because you're reading this book to learn about how we're going to be better at communication going forward, that's the most important thing. And I think they all took that to heart, had some hard conversations with each other. And I think through that, as Abby mentioned, they came out a stronger team and knew that everyone had each other's back. So I know everyone was a little antsy going into that, but I think it really did pay off, and them putting themselves out there led to a team that everyone could work with each other. If there's something wrong, everyone was willing, I believe, not being there, you kind of miss things every now and then, to call out where each other could improve in a constructive way. And I think doing that then led to them all being the best they could going into the race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a pivotal moment. And you know, every team has their ups and downs, right? Even if you don't win the race, just getting there requires a lot. And it's a long season for one day. There's certainly ups and downs. And there's always a turning over of riders. So the identity of the team always changes. And you can't cut and paste one year to the next year as much as you'd like to, but you can't do that. And kudos for you guys for doing that hard work and sitting down, having those hard conversations so you could come together. Mm-hmm. What was it like going into the spring? Qualifications, ITTs, track practice. Were you hitting your marks? Were you guys riding the way you wanted to?
I think we came in probably relaxed and excited. And that showed with, even though quals didn't go as well as you'd think that we'd be capable of, no one was freaking out. We knew we were in the race. Mm-hmm. And then they just kept putting in the work, and let you girls speak on how the rest of it you thought went.
I think it went really well for all of us. All of our rookies made really good improvement in their ITT times from the fall into the spring. So we were really proud about that. We were lucky enough to have two team pursuit teams, which was really cool, so that our rookies could experience that still. Even though Miss and Outs got canceled, we go to two races every year, which are Candy Stripe Classic, the IU race, and then we go to a two-day crit in St. Louis. So even though Miss Announce was canceled, we still had pack riding experience and race experience, which overall helped really well instead of just doing like spring series stuff.
Mm-hmm. Rookie,
Oh,
go ahead, Abby.
Oh, sorry. I was just gonna say, I think we probably like underperformed in some of the like quals and even maybe a little bit of team pursuit than we thought we were capable of. And it kind of felt like other people didn't think that way, but it made us just like really, like our self-belief was so like, I don't want to say unwarranted, but it was like so strong that we were like, no, we got this. Like, they don't know what's coming. Like, we got this. Even though we did like qual 13th or whatever, I think it just goes to show that it really is just like that one day that matters in a sense. And it's like, you really just have to show up and just ball out.
Yeah, talk about team pursuit. You made the finals with Teeter, and you had you guys, Melanzana, got second in team pursuit, but your time was like 8 seconds faster in the finals or something compared to the prelims. And you definitely looked more organized, more together in the finals, regardless of what the outcome looked like. Rookies, talk to me about how you improved over the year and specifically how you learned these unique little five skills like running, jumping on a bike, and skidding and all that. How'd that go for you?
Well, I would say I had like really humble beginnings on the bike. I didn't expect the learning curve to be so big.
You were a water polo athlete and a former runner?
Yeah, I did not run at all. I just liked the water. So starting out, like, I remember my first time on the track, I was so scared. There was a rookie skill clinic, and we had like an 8-lap scratch race, and I got lapped by everyone in it. I was getting told, like, you're embarrassing your brother, you're embarrassing your brother. So I was like, oh no. And then I think at ITTs in the fall, I got 46 out of 54. So that was kind of tough. But then I think our team just has really good coaching. Like Grace and Abby really took us under their wings and taught us like all their tricks. Because I was really scared of going around the turns on the track, and they'd tell me like, hey, just like lean back or lean a certain way. So I think just all the coaching on technique just really helped improve. And then all the belief in me too. Like there's some times where I was like, oh no, what did I get myself into? Like this biking's like really hard. But they never like gave up on me and like always encouraged me. So I feel like that really helped me make strides on the bike as well, especially going into the fall. And then I think our training trip to Florida, we did a lot of races and stuff, and I think that too also helped build a lot of confidence going into the spring.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Nora.
Yeah, I would agree with
you. Came in with some cycling background, so pedaling and stuff going down hills probably wasn't that challenging for you, but what about the track?
I would say the track was definitely something to get used to, with all of like just getting used to like the cinders and everything. I remember like learning how to jump on the bike, just getting really, really bad rookie marks, but very atrocious. But then I eventually learned how to get it down right. And once I was able to do that, it was felt good and I felt comfortable riding little five bikes. But yeah.
James, what about the training for this year compared to last year? Did you have to modify it to work with some rookies and a new team?
Totally. So, I mean, as you said, with teams flipping over every year, it's not always going to be an exact copy paste of the training plan. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, it's still a similar trajectory of trying to build a base and then switch it more to intervals and more race specific efforts the closer you get to the race. I think this year, which was uncommon, I didn't really focus on trying to get the team in the gym as much as I have in prior years. I still think that'd be super beneficial, but worked on fighting which fights I should, spend my effort on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just, more or less of the same type of workouts this year.
Gotcha. So let's talk about the race. Going into the race, you weren't necessarily the favored team by all the pundits and the experts, whoever they are. So what was your confidence level? How'd you use that to your advantage?
I was very confident in our team this year. I knew that we had it in us because we have really strong riders this year. We were standing on the start line and I was like, yep.
How did you know?
Great.
How did you know? Yes. You said you're so confident, but what gave you?
I mean, I feel like all of the stuff that we went through, just realized that we had to put so much trust in James as our coach and in each other. So even if we had a bad day on a bike or a bad day at a race or ITTs or something, mm-hmm. I could trust them and know that they could still perform and win.
I think that was like my biggest source of confidence is like I knew that we all were really good, like strong riders, but every team has really strong riders. And some would argue that other teams maybe had stronger riders than us. But I knew that we could adapt to things when they went wrong during the race, because we had proven that like time and time again this year. Grace and I got to saying it to each other because it was just like a running joke that things just always find a way to go wrong. And it's just like, how do you adapt to that? And like, how do you overcome that? And how do you make turn it into something that's gonna like benefit your team? And so I feel like when I know we're gonna talk about the race later, but when things kind of were kind of scary and a little hairy there for a little minute in the race, like that's when I kind of knew it was like our time to shine. Like this is like what we were ready to do and to like to make some moves and stuff like that.
Did you have a pre-race strategy going into it, like an idea how you wanted the race to go? Last year, you clearly wanted to attack, and you took a lap and half, or a lap and or two, or something. What were you thinking about going into it this year?
Our strategy this year was for Abby and Lauren to eat the laps at the beginning. I think we were planning to have me do a 10-lap set somewhere in there, and then have me launch the attack around lap 72. Obviously, that didn't go to plan because it's bike racing, and nothing in bike racing ever goes to plan, I feel like. But I mean, last year it did. But and then once we caught up to Teeter, that's when we just decided to launch the attack instead. And then once, like in the pre-race strategy planning, once I would launch the attack, then we would have Abby and Lauren go in and just hold it off the front and keep pushing, and then have me go in for like the last 5 laps. So that was the plan.
So you didn't want to sprint in the race even going into it?
No.
We were confident in Grace in a sprint by going off the front if we had the energy. Grace, you were confident. Don't lie.
I was kind of scared after watching this tape.
Did have the energy to go for an attack at the end. Then if you don't have to sprint, that's always a great way to go across the finish line without the nerves. And if it did get brought back, hopefully we've kind of run down the energy in some of the other riders by the time that we put Grace on for or the other teams to catch. So I think it was just hedging bets, and that was our best option based on the risk in the race.
So let's get to the race. Abby Green, you start the race, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Talk me through like what your plan was the first set and what you're looking for. How many laps you're trying to stay out there? Who you keen off of?
So it was a really similar setup to when Abby Teed started the race last year. It was same spot in number like the 13th position. Our goal was just to get me out as fast as I could and get to the front, just because that's the safest place to be in a pack, especially at the beginning of the little five. But then it was kind of became this thing where I was going to sit in for around 25 laps, but our whole kind of like theme throughout the race was to key off the exchanges of other teams, and that way to like be flexible too, just so you're mm-hmm. making the smartest move and not just always just the one working the hardest. So that really just kind of looked like there was 4 or 5 of us up there at the front switching poles for the first 20 or so laps. And it was mainly the teams that we were, or I was, I don't think we all were worried about, mm-hmm. like Teeter, Akio, DG, and Theta. And so I was just making sure that we all were pulling, but it wasn't at like a, it was fast, but not like anything that we couldn't do for a long time. So,
And what lap do you come out about?
Like 26, maybe. Akio burn, and then a couple other teams burn, and then I followed Teeter's burn. And well, in my head, I was like, I'm not coming out till they come out. And so I followed their burn, and then did maybe like one or two more laps, and they came out.
And who went on next, Lauren?
I think it's Grace. Yeah,
Grace. Okay. So Grace, you get in lap 26.
Yeah.
What's your strategy there? What are you thinking? What's going on in the race when you get in?
The pack was still together. We were just rotating through. And then I saw, you can see it on the race tape, I saw the teeter coach hold up a sign that said punch it. So I pulled off the front and I looked back because I was like, are they about to go right now? So then I followed their burn and then the pack came back together. So it was just like very chill, like rotating through.
And the teeter didn't take off then?
No, they didn't take off then. That was just for a burn.
Oh, I see. And then you bring it in to Lauren?
Yes.
So you did 10 laps at Grace?
I think it was around 10 laps.
All right, Lauren, first time in Little Five. Yellow jersey, the crowd, a few more people than a water polo match.
Definitely.
Tell me about that experience.
So I went in for my first set. I was pretty nervous. The original plan was I was going to do a longer set. So when I was in, I remember looking back and Teeter was right on my wheel. So I kind of pulled off to let them pull, which this was kind of where it showed that I lacked that race experience. But right when I did that was when they like flew right past me and I couldn't catch a wheel. So that's kind of when they launched their attack. So my set ended up getting cut pretty short right then. Cause we threw in like other riders to kind of bring it back. But yeah, so that was, I was maybe in for like, I might be wrong, 5 laps ish when I first went in. So yeah, that was my first set.
You think Teeter was picking on you because you were a rookie inexperienced or just the timing of it?
I don't know. It could have been a little bit of both, but I feel like it was just the timing. Like I kind of perfectly pulled off right for them to just go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Teeter's taken off. It doesn't take you long to realize that they're going for it. Mm-hmm. James, what's the pit thinking? What are you thinking about that?
It's a little nerve-wracking, as always, when someone's off the front, but we've been through it a couple times before in the pit, and having the people on the fence as well to keep you calm and collected was super helpful. So having the right people there is always really useful. But we decided to send in Abby next, because we knew, like, she knows a lot of people, very congenial. So having her go in there to kind of organize the pack to bring back Teeter seemed like the best option at that point. So send in Abby and she can talk about that.
Abby, did you bring back Teeter or did you just ride a steady pace where Teeter eventually kind of didn't get enough rest and came back?
We didn't catch Teeter. So we had all rotated through exchanges a couple more times. But when I went in the second time, we were like trying as hard as we could to catch Teeter. But it's like James said, it was nice that there was other strong teams like around us. And so I know like Grace and Lauren had a similar experience, but it immediately switched to, it wasn't just like us versus them. It was like all of us versus Teeter in that one moment. And it was like whatever we had to do to get Teeter back in, at least, I mean, there was a time when they were like half a lap up. And so it's just like whatever we had to do to like reel them in, like I was ready to do that. And I think everybody else in the field was ready to do that. And so it kind of became this thing where like shouting at people, like, okay, we're gonna do half lap pulls, like you got this, like encouraging them, because if we could work together to get there, we would be less tired, you know, than having to do it yourself. So it definitely was like, I feel like the adrenaline was at like a peak during those sets, because it was like, oh my God, are we going to bring him back or are we not? But then mm-hmm.
Did you realize how far ahead they were at times?
I kept on hearing the announcers be like 11 seconds, 12 seconds, but then it got up to like 18 seconds at some point. And so that was kind of like, what are we going to do? Because this isn't working. But then I think when I came out, I think Grace went in next, but it was kind of like this thing where it's like it was early and they were already just like ITTing off the front, and it's just like, how would they be able to sustain that? But then they kept it up for a long time, so it's kind of like, okay, if we don't bring him back now, like when is it going to happen?
And your pit was on the back stretch, their pit's on the front stretch, start finish line area, so you have no visual of their pit at all, probably. Did you
see them? But just every time I went by, I would like read their whatever they had on their sign, and like see what their vibe check in the pit to see what was going on.
That's pretty good for a second year rider. So Grace, you get on the bike, Teeter still up the track. What are your instructions? What are your thoughts?
So James told me to go in and talk to the pack, get them to all work together like Abby did. I had a similar technique as Abby. I was encouraging the girls that I were doing the laps with, like I would my own team in Team Pursuit. So I was like, you guys are amazing. You got this. Keep pushing. And it was so helpful because I could hear the mechanics on the infield giving us splits, how far away we were from Teeter. So then we were like 11 seconds. And then I think I did around a 10 lap set. I'm not sure. And then I was going to come in. So I told the group that I was working with, I think it was Independent Council, AKIO, and DG. I said, my girl's going to come in. You guys wait for my girl and we are going to catch them. And they're like, okay, okay. So then I went for a burn, gave it to Lauren. And then Lauren went in and started working with them again.
And Lauren, your second set was phenomenal, really. When I was watching it, you look like a different bike rider out there. Maybe it was more clear what you had to do.
Yeah, I definitely had a chip on my shoulder going back in. My confidence was like a little rocked after the first one. And I remember my brother was right behind me in the pit and he was like, come on, Lauren, like you got it. And I was like, you're right. Like my one little five, like I need to go. And my legs were a little bit more rested too, because I did a shorter set for my first one. So yeah, I remember I got on the bike and DG and Akio were right there. And I was like, I think it was Akio. I was like, get on my wheel, like, let's go get Teeter. And everyone was like, yeah, let's go. Then we ended up like switching poles. And then I think we caught Teeter, I think in that set. So it's just like, and then hearing the announcer talk, like Teeter's lead has decreased by blank number. That was also super motivating. I was like, okay, like we're getting them. We're chasing them down. So yeah.
They did not give up easy. They even hung out there with like a 4 second gap for a while.
Yeah.
Credit to them. And I think you catch them around lap 80 or 79 or so. You make contact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was about 80.
We got 20 laps left in the race. It's all back together. A few teams don't make that split, I don't think. A few teams had some bad exchanges. So it's sort of down to two or three teams then, really? If I remember,
I think it was going to us, AKO, DG, and Teeter.
Okay. James, what are you thinking now? We got 20 laps to go. We have one of the best sprinters in the field. The race is back together. Are you thinking about saving it to the end, or are you still thinking we have enough energy, we're going to launch an attack?
Totally. So obviously, if the race is hard, that's when it's great to launch a counter. So ask everyone on the team how their legs are feeling and if they thought that they had the energy in them. They had it, so decided to launch the attack and counter.
And who does that? Remind me. How does that start?
A couple of people.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, you can go ahead then.
I went in after Lauren did like another set. I don't really know how long, but then it was like that was in the time where it was like we all were kind of rotating who was in front, but it wasn't until Grace went in that she like sent it.
She went
over the top. I sat on a Teeter girl's wheel for two laps, and then she went to go and do an exchange, and then I did two laps really fast and then came in for Lauren.
Okay. And Lauren, you were by yourself in the lead.
I think when I came in for the third time, when we did the exchange, that was when DG passed us. And then, yeah, I went in and then passed DG, and then we were up from there.
Then it goes to Abby, like less than 10 to go.
Yeah, I was like, I think there was 7 to go. And I looked at, I was like getting ready to go back in, and Grace, I forgot what I said something to Grace, And she was like, these are our last laps of Little Five. Like, they're supposed to hurt. Like, just send like everything you have, like leave it out there. And then I think I did like three laps and you guys put up our code word for burn plus one. But I just read the burn part. And so I was like, okay, one more lap. Like, I got this. And I started like on the back stretch, like fading out to our exchange bet. And they all were just like, no, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. And so that was definitely like a hit. I was like, oh my God. But then it was just like, it was fine. One more lap. And then exchange to Grace with like two to go, one and a half to go.
James, the gap is growing at the end. How do you guys decide to put Grace on at the end?
We had enough of a gap and it was a bike to bike exchange, so pretty low risk. And if I have the opportunity, which is obviously opportunity to win is one thing. And then on top of that, to get your captain in that's been leading the team all year, that's very special. So I think we've been able to do that the past 2 years and that was really cool. And then also, God forbid something else would have happened, Grace is freshest and she could sprint if something else came down to it. So those were the thoughts going into throwing Grace back in at the end.
Okay, Captain, you get on the bike with 1.5 laps to go. Let me hear the breakdown of those laps and what you're thinking and the emotion as you cross the finish line.
Oh, yeah. So I knew that we only had 1.5 laps to go. I saw the white flag. I immediately started smiling and then I was like, reel it back in. And then we passed our pit. I was like hauling. I was trying to just go as fast as I can. Like no matter the gap, I was like, I need to go. Saw my pit. I just started like smiling because I knew that I still had a good gap. And then around turn 4, I turned around and no one was there. And then I put my hand up, which people said that it was too early. Put my hand up, immediately started crying because Little Five is just so crazy. And everything that we went through this year was so crazy too. And then going back to back for the first time that we've ever won too is just insane. So, yeah.
You had a lot of emotion there. It was really sweet to see. Yeah. And then you make your way back to the pit and your teammates are there waiting for you. What's it like for everybody? Back-to-back champions. Rookies, let's hear it.
Oh, I mean, I would like started crying when we won. It just felt so nice to have your hard work pay off. And then looking into the stands and seeing like your family, your friends, all the alumni who have been there before you, like it just felt so awesome to get another championship for them. Mm-hmm. So it was unreal. I'd never felt something like that before.
Did it surprise you, like going back a year when you decided to do it, to how important it became to you?
Yeah, it definitely did. Because So after the race last year, watching Carson, I was like, that's really cool. That looks like something I want to do. And then over the summer, I rode 3 times. And I was like, I don't like cycling. Like, this is not for me. And so I ended up swimming all summer. So then kind of just reflecting back on like the whole journey and getting to the top was just so cool.
Nora, I know you didn't ride much in the race, but you're still part of the Final Four team and you were there for them if they needed you. What's it like being from Bloomington and hearing about Little Five probably for many years and being on the podium at the end, hoisting the trophy?
That was super special just to be out there with these three strong women and these three seniors that ultimately chose me to be their fourth rider, and just to stand there on the podium and see how hard their hard work paid off was really cool. Yeah.
What's it been like since you won a couple days ago?
Crazy. I think something so special about winning Little Five compared to other races is that you get to see all these like amazing alumni who have been on your team and supporting you. And after you come out of Little Five, there's no bike racing that's really like it. Like, you can go to a crate, you can go to a road race, and it's like, cool, you won, on to the next one. And it's not this whole celebration thing. So we had our after party after, all of our alums and our parents came over. So it was just really special to celebrate that win with everyone who, like, gave into this program.
Especially, like, leading into graduation. I don't want to speak for, like, Grace and Lauren, but I've been super emo about it and, like, very nostalgic about just, like, the ending of this, like, era. And so it was so cool to be able to, like, have that moment after the race with all of the people that came before us and, like, created this team and, like, allowed, like, gave it space for it to grow, to become this thing. And then to have our, like, friends and family there, and, like, my roommates were there, and, like, people from all these different, like, parts of my life. It was definitely, like, a really cool, like, capstone part of it. But also another amazing thing about Little Five is, like, the community that you have outside of just your team. We've been talking and hyping up the culture of Zana, but I've made some of, like, my best friends just even this past year on other teams. And it's so cool to, like, be able to, like, share that, those memories and, like, that kind of ending and that kind of, like, deep breath with everybody. It's such, like, a universal feeling just for the people in Little Five. It's like you don't have to explain it. It's like they know what you're feeling and thinking, and everybody, the alumni, know that. It's like a, it's like a very, like, human nature type thing.
Abby, were your teammates from last year all there for in the race this year, and have you heard from them?
Oh, the people that raced last year?
Yeah, like Grace, Abby T.
Just Abby T was able to, like, come back, but Julie and Grace, like, texting and calling all of us, like, they're super, they stay super well in touch. But yeah, no, Abby T was there, and that was really, really awesome.
James, what do you think? Back to back, how many more you got in you?
We'll see. That was really exciting. I mean, as you've been around forever, I'm sure you know the feeling of how gutting it is when you lose, when you think you have the opportunity, and then the opposite feeling of when you pull it off. And I feel like after pulling it off for the first time, it's almost a weight lifted off your shoulders, knowing that the team's capable of doing it going forward. And I think if we balance that confidence and not become entitled after the success that the team's had the past couple of years, even the years we didn't win, having that confidence, though, knowing that we're capable of it and we've done it before, I think this team's really set up for success in the future.
Well, speaking of future, Nora, what's the future of Zana look like?
Man. Well, it sounds like falling 13th and getting second. So maybe if we could do that again. But besides that, I feel like what makes Zana so special is just the strong sisterhood and being a part of that, like, first and foremost. But also just working hard and showing up, even when it's hard.
And you'll attract the right riders for the team if you do that. The right people will come. Yeah. You veterans, are you seniors? Any advice to the next year's team when they come in the fall, they start to gather?
My advice would be racing as much as you can. I didn't race this much this year. I think I did like 3 USA Cycling races, but it taught me so much. And you don't even have to think while you're racing Little Five if you do some other races under your belt, because if you lose all those other races, then it's whatever. But that's my advice. Love each other.
Mine would be trust your training. You're putting in so much hard work and training so hard that by the time you get to the spring, like, you need to trust that you have that behind you. Also, just, like, enjoy the journey. I know that sounds cliche, but, man, like, I miss going to the track so much already. I'm so sad that I don't have one more Little Five in me. So I think just enjoy every day that you get to hang out with your team and you get to show up at the track and see your friends on other teams and you get to ride with them. So just enjoy every single moment.
I think just like remember like why you wanted to join a little five team. I think it's different for all of us. We all have like a different reason or a reason that led us to Zana or to a different team in within the biking community, but there's such like a overlap between those, and like there's such like a there's room for like shared experiences together, and just that like I've always biked the best when I'm happy in my life outside of biking and feeling like loved and like content and grateful. And so it's like train as hard as you can, bike as hard as you can, but like you can't ignore those other areas of your life. And I think that's where you really rely on your teammates and having that support system.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, best of luck to all of you. Enjoy your summers. And you, those of you graduating, well, what are you doing after you graduate, the three of you? You have jobs? You moving?
Hopefully getting a job somewhere.
Yeah, I don't have a job yet, but I'm trying to end up in Chicago.
Chicago. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I have a job in Denver, Colorado.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
Yeah.
James, you and James can ride a little bit.
Or run.
Or run. Or
swim. Really great runner. He's going to teach us ways.
Well, thank you for your time. Congratulations again. It was a joy to watch you go out and compete and come together. And you did bring a great attitude. Every practice that I saw you at, you were always smiling, encouraging each other and encouraging the people around you. So thanks for being a good ambassador of Little 500. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And
have fun at the awards banquet tomorrow. Get your rings.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy yourself. And we'll see you next year's Little Five.
Yeah, woo, for sure. Yeah. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks again, ladies from Melanzana. I appreciate taking the time to talk and lay out a roadmap for future teams. Congratulations on back-to-back championships. See you soon.